The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
Welcome back to another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball. So this is kind of an impromptu episode. I'm doing it solo. I am Terry Cushman, if this happens to be your first time listening. And there's been a lot of talk in the last 24, 48 hours about overhauling the MLB playoff format. It looks pretty flawed this year. And depending on who you talk to, everyone has their own idea. There's like 30 of them being kicked around by various people, whether it's national writers, MLB network people, former players that are analysts. A lot of people are weighing in on ideas. And I'm a truck driver, so I have a lot of time to consume and absorb content and also formulate my own thoughts. And so I'm going to give you my idea. And my idea addresses two glaring problems. Number one, it would eliminate long layoffs. So the teams that get the bye presently under the current system won't get cold under this format that I'm proposing. And it would also bring integrity back. Like good teams and only good teams into the month of October. So it addresses those two things. So here's my plan. I would scrap the 16 format immediately. And I would also scrap the divisions. Now, that's not a unique take. Other people have proposed scrapping the divisions also and kind of having like an NBA-type format. I would still keep the leagues. I would still have the American League. I'd still have the National League. And in the NBA, I think it's the top eight from each side advance. It's very simple, very cut and dry. I'm not proposing that. I'm proposing something a little bit more unique. Here's what I would do. I would set the bar at 90 wins. I would call it a qualifier. If you win 90 games, you're in the postseason. And I'd still have seeding. You know, the team that wins the most of the teams that make it is still the number one seed. And then you'll have a 2 seed, a 3 seed, so on and so forth. There would still be seeding. And let's look at the last few seasons, because that'll give you a better idea of how exactly this would play out. I'm going to come to the current season last, because this current season is a bit of an anomaly. So let's just look at the American League side of it for the 2022 and 2023 seasons. Both of those years in the American League, 5 teams won 90 games. Okay? So you need to get it down to 4 teams to get the ALDS into place. So what I would do is where the season always ends on a Sunday, every year it never changes, game 162 for all MLB teams happens on Sunday. The very next day, and again, I'm taking years 2022 and 2023, I would have the knockout games, as I drop my pen. I'd have the knockout games on Monday. So seeds 4 and 5 under the 2 years that I'm using in this example, 2022, 2023, the 4th and 5th seed would play that knockout game, which is essentially just the one game wild card. Okay, I'm not calling it a wild card game because we're scrapping all the divisions and all that. There's no such thing as a wild card. So you call it a knockout game, and those two teams play on Monday no matter what. The winner of that advances into the final available slot of the ALDS. That would take place on Tuesday. Game one would start on Tuesday. So that right there in and of itself eliminates the long layoff because no team would have more than one day off. Let's look at 2021 because that year kind of gets a little gnarly, but in a good way, in my opinion. 7 teams in 2021 on the American League side won 90 games. So that would mean one team, the top seed essentially, gets a bye into the ALDS, and then you'd have 3 knockout games with the other 6 teams. And then the winner of each of those 3 knockout games advances into the ALDS. So again, no wait time. All of them play just one game. You get to Tuesday and you're playing playoff baseball. Now, when I talk about the integrity aspect, this is what I'm talking about. Use the Detroit Tigers. That's not really a team built for October. They're doing some impressive things, but they're doing it with a very flawed roster. The whole roster in and of itself is $18 million. That's all the Tigers have on their payroll because they're all young and most of them haven't been in the league for more than a few years. Let's look at their current roster. So here are who I believe are their 4 best offensive players. Riley Green, not a bad player. I wouldn't mind having, well, he's a lefty, so I guess it wouldn't work. But typically, not a guy I wouldn't mind having in the Red Sox lineup. Decent player. Then you have Zach McKinstry. He's okay. Not a world beater. Kerry Carpenter hits righties pretty well, but gets hurt all the time, including today. He left the game early, so I don't know what his status will be for game 5 against Cleveland on Saturday. But, you know, he's still one of their better hitters. And then 4th, I would say, is Matt Vierling. If you want to put Spencer Torkelson in there, who's hitting 128 this postseason, instead of Vierling, go ahead. But what I'm getting at here is that's not a great 1 through 4. That's not at all. That's not sexy any way you want to spin it. Let's look at their rotation real quick. You got Tarek Skubal, bona fide ace, probably will win the Cy Young. It drops off sharply after him. Reese Olson, he's a bona fide starting pitcher. Would probably be a back-end guy on most playoff rotations if he was with another team, or he might even be a spot starter or a bulk guy. He had a very short leash today. I think they only pitched him in 4 innings, but still, not a great pitcher. And then you just free fall after that. Kenta Maeda is just completely washed, but he's still one of their best guys. Casey Mize is a busted prospect. Every 4th or 5th game, he'll look very good, but he's not a good pitcher overall. Had an ERA of like 4.5. This is a trash rotation, but they might end up going to the ALCS to face the Yankees, who just wrapped up their series today. And so take this current team, compare it to the 2013 ALCS team that the Red Sox beat. And I still call that an upset. Not a major one, but I think Detroit was the better team on paper going into that matchup. But let's look at four or five of their best hitters. They had Miguel Cabrera, who I think won the MVP that year and the Triple Crown. Prince Fielder was a very good player that year. Hit close to 300, I think 26 bombs, 106 RBI. Very good at that point in his career still. Victor Martinez was great for the Tigers. Very good hitter. I wish we never let him go. I wonder what 2010, 2011, 2012 would have looked like had he stayed with the Red Sox. Very good player. You also had Torrey Hunter, who was in the later stages of his career. I think he was 36, 37 years old. Still a great player. Had that iconic play where he went over the wall on Big Poppy's Grand Slam. But very good baseball player still. Kind of surprised he didn't stay on the Hall of Fame ballot a little bit longer. But is what it is. And then I'll put Johnny Peralta in there. Decent player, kind of a 6 or 7 hole guy, but still a lot better than what they currently have in 2024. And then let's look at the Tigers rotation for that 2013 ALCS. You had Max Scherzer, won the Cy Young that year. Justin Verlander, who in my opinion is the GOAT of the 21st century. And you had Anibal Sanchez, who had the lowest ERA in Major League Baseball that year. So an extremely good rotation compared to the current one. And so when you look at that 2013 team and then you fast forward to the present, that's just a crap team. And there are people out there that would die on that hill that this Detroit Tigers team deserves to be in the postseason, and they're doing amazing things. And, you know, to a point they are, but still, I don't think they really have much business being there. And this is what I mean when it comes to the integrity aspect. Here's a couple more things I like about setting the bar at 90 wins. It kind of ups the ante during the winter when it comes to free agency and even trades during the winter. It gives each team a clear picture of where they need to be and gives them the opportunity to assess their team to get exactly what they need. The last few winters haven't really been that robust. This previous winter, I mean, it was kind of fun watching the Ohtani market play out and the Yamamoto market. But after that, there wasn't a lot of blockbuster things going on. And then look at the last few trade deadlines. Extremely dull. You're not seeing top prospects get moved anymore. And part of the reason for that is because the bar for the third wild card spot is so low. So many teams don't want to part with certain players because they're looking at their team thinking, well, I might only need 83, 84 wins to get into the postseason. So why make this move? Why not just hang on to these players and ride it out and see what happens? And in the case of, you know, Detroit, Kansas City, the Mets on the National League side, you know, they were able to get in. But I think if you set the bar at 90 wins, most teams that are under 500 at the deadline, they're going to be a lot more incentivized to sell off those assets and, you know, acquire some prospects. And the other teams that are really going for it might be a little bit more incentivized to make those trades and be a little bit more willing to give up those prospects, knowing that it's going to take 90 wins. the optics for most teams to not be aggressive and to give their team a chance at the deadline, it's bad if they don't try. It's bad for business. Their fan base is going to get really upset with them. So I think by setting the bar at 90 wins, you're going to have more exciting free agency seasons and you're going to have more exciting trade deadlines. It solves a lot of problems. And I personally, I can live with any 90-win team going to the World Series and winning it. I can live with that. So, you know, it's unique. No one else has proposed anything like this. There's going to be variance because different numbers of teams each season are going to win 90 games. And actually, the one thing I forgot to cover is the current year. And I said I'd circle back to it. I meant to come back to it a little sooner. But this year's an anomaly because only three teams in the American League won 90 or more. So in that case, I would just simply, the next highest team would get into the ALDS. And that's probably going to be an 88 or 89 win team. And so be it. Fine. You know, let that team in. And if there's a tie there, then they can either play a knockout game or you could just have tiebreakers in place. You know, the better head-to-head record between the two, the better home record could be the next criteria. There's multiple ways to address that, and I would be extremely open-minded as to how they do it. But I think this is a good plan. It's fair. It's black and white. And there's really, I don't see a downside to doing it this way. I really don't. So I figured I'd kind of come on there and pitch it. It was better to do it solo because, you know, it allows me to get through the whole thing. Yeah, had I done it on a regular show, I'm sure it would have been fine, but, you know, other hosts could jump in and kind of sidetrack things with questions and dialogue, and that's fine. You know, the dialogue on a podcast is good, but I just figured I'd come on here and do this. We will be recording the next playoff show on Saturday night, so that'll be available on Sunday morning. And if you don't get to it on Sunday, and a lot of people won't, because I'm sure, you know, 60% of the audience or so probably listens on their commute, so they'll catch it Monday morning, at which point only game one of the, I think it's the AL, no, it must be the NLCS is the first game on Sunday. But so it'll still be fresh by Monday morning, and only a 4-man crew for that. Jason is in Ireland on a family trip, and Charlie again ruining his life by getting married. Kidding. I hope it works. We're all rooting for Charlie, but obviously a busy man this weekend. So myself, Jeremy, Nick, Steve will be on. I might try to get a random person just to keep it interesting. Anyone that wants to come in and kind of give their own analysis with us. So we will see all of you that, you know, that want to tune in on Sunday, and the rest of you at some point in the week. The Red Sox did fire some coaching staff, by the way. No one real significant. Peter Fatsy, the hitting coach, he's staying. So is Dave Bush. But they did some of the smaller guys on the coaching food chain got their walking papers, but not a big enough story to come on and do a podcast. But anyway, we will we'll see you Sunday morning, and again throughout the week as things develop. Everyone, take care.